Hello, I'm Kevin Barcinas, and welcome back to our third installment of Men Don't Cry. These are the tattoos of a male-dominated world, a show where inklings of masculinity are skin deep. Today we have Devin DiCapua, also known as Sovereign Angst. Welcome, Devin. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Good, good. So Devin is actually 22 years old from Long Beach, and he has been doing drag for about a year. So the first thing I actually wanted to start the show with is a little Mythbusters section. If you would like, I wanted to bring some, like, five myths, okay, if you want to bust them.
Absolutely.
For our guests.
I'm excited.
Okay. So the first myth about drag queens: all drag queens are gay.
That's not true at all. Most drag queens are gay, but I've met several queens that consider themselves hetero-flexible, or everyone's on a different scale, you know?
Okay. So you're saying that it's not a requirement?
Oh, not at all.
Perfect.
Yeah, just because I even have straight friends that dress up in drag for fun. It's just like dressing up or being a clown.
Yeah. So our second myth: drag queens want to be women.
That's not true either. I am very much a man. even when I'm in drag, I refuse to use the women's bathroom. I will go in and use a urinal. I don't care. But, you know, some queens, they identify as transgender. But, yeah, it really just depends. But doing drag has nothing to do with your gender identity. It's all about performance.
Okay. You said that you go to the bathroom in drag. Do you tuck?
I do tuck, but, like, after a show or something, I'll, like, untuck and go to the bathroom, and I'll use a urinal, you know? I'm not a woman. I'm not going to use the woman's bathroom.
But what is that like when you're tucked for, like, 5 hours straight?
It's a lot of fun. No, I'm kidding. Oh. You know, it's painful, but beauty is pain. Yeah. It's not completely pleasant, but it's a labor of love.
Yeah. So for a third myth, we have: drag queens only do it for the money.
No drag queen is getting paid enough to do it just for the money. It is a labor of love. You never get back financially what you have to put into it. Like, making tips in a bar, it doesn't even come close to, like, the wigs and the shoes. And if someone's going into it just for the money, go into a different industry.
So why do you do it?
It's fun, you know. Even when I was younger, I loved to dress up and be really feminine and theatrical. And I just sort of stumbled into it when I started college. And I wish I had a deeper answer, but it's just a lot of fun. And it's so fun meeting
people. We've all done it.
Yeah. It's so fun meeting people at shows and interacting and networking with people. Yeah.
Have you always wanted to do drag, and then you just came upon it last year, or?
Yeah, there were a few years that I wanted to do it. Like most of the young queens of this generation, being exposed to RuPaul's Drag Race was a big eye-opener. So, yeah, once I sort of stumbled into that world, I was like, this is so weird, I need to be a part of it, kind of thing.
What made you, like, start doing it? Like, the first time, how did you feel? What did you think when you finally tried it?
Well, like any queen will probably tell you.
Was she messy?
Oh, completely. Crunchy brows. It was not pleasant. I sort of consider my start of drag when I started performing. However, for a good year or so, I would just sort of sit in my room and, like, practice with makeup and play with it. And it wasn't good, but you have to practice if you want to get better at anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for our fourth myth: anyone can be a professional drag queen.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think so.
Okay. And why do you say that?
I think anyone has the ability to do it. Like, I don't know. Anyone can go up there and lip sync, but you just have to be dedicated, bottom line.
But what about, like, standing in heels, the tucking? Like, because drag seems like it's a lot of work.
It is.
As much as it is an art.
Yeah. It's a lot of hard work, and if you put in the work, I guarantee you can do it. Anyone can.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for our fifth myth, we have: drag queens are not men. it makes them lesser of a man to do drag?
Well, no. It has nothing to do with gender identity. Again, it's purely just performance. And yeah, it has nothing to do with how you identify.
Yeah. Some people say that drag is probably one of the most masculine things to do because of the amount of courage it takes to put yourself out there and subject yourself to, like, ridicule.
It does take, no pun intended, it does, or no, I don't want to curse, actually. It does take a lot of courage.
And, I know what you were going to say. You could say it.
I want you to get your class.
It takes
credit,
a lot of what? Cojones?
Yes. That's a good way to put
See,
it.
See, we could use Spanish. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, what is your concept of masculinity then, because you do the drag and you're enveloped in that culture?
Me personally, I don't really pay attention to the scale of masculinity and femininity. I just, including me, I feel like everyone is just somewhere on this spectrum. There's no perfect way to be masculine or perfect way to be feminine. And I just live my life not really caring where I fall on that scale.
That's a beautiful answer. How do you feel about the gay community and its judgment on masculinity and how they almost like restrict themselves just because someone isn't what they
believe? I think it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, even including like gay dating sites and a just sort of club culture. There's
mascara
a lot of,
for mascara.
Yeah. There's a lot of judgment that goes around that I think is really unnecessary. And as a community, I think we need to be more accepting and more loving to all sort of walks of life rather than just judging something that doesn't necessarily relate to you.
Have you ever been subjected to that where someone like basically disapproved of you because of masculinity and femininity?
A few instances, mainly romantic. I've had people that were really not on board with it. But besides that, I've been pretty lucky. I've been really supported, and yeah.
That's great. So I really wanted to ask you, is it a lifestyle or a hobby? Or does it differ depending on who?
I guess it does differ. I mean, in my experience, it is a hobby, but it becomes a lifestyle. Like, there's just wigs and shoes everywhere in my room. Like, I can barely walk around. You know, like, when you collect, like, all these things, like, yes, it is a hobby and you enjoy doing it, but to a certain level, it does kind of become a lifestyle because you have to prepare for a show. You have to, I always like to take a day just to, like, shave and to, like, do my music, so it depends how frequently you do it, but to me, I do identify with it as a lifestyle, I would suppose.
How long does it take you to get ready?
Well, I don't have a very long attention span, so if I sat down and really went at it, it would probably take 2 to 3 hours, but I'm the kind of person that likes to have, like, Netflix on in the background, and, like, I'll do an eyebrow and then walk around and get, like, a soda or something.
Yeah.
So for me, it takes, like, 4 hours. Just I try to give myself that just because I don't like rushing and I like to be comfortable and not rush.
Yeah. And how often do you perform?
At the moment I'm performing weekly.
Oh wow, where at?
At this club. It's called the Circle OC in Orange County, and I'm currently participating in a competition called Miss Playdate there every Sunday. We just got down to the last 7 girls, I believe, of the competition.
And you're still in the running?
I am. I've been in the top the last few nights, so I'm excited.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun, and all the queens are really awesome. It sucks we have to eliminate each other, but it's really fun.
What time do you guys go on?
We usually go on about, well, it's drag time, so we're supposed to go on at 9, but realistically it's 9:30, because
yeah.
Drag queens are always late.
Wait, I want to go back to what you just said about the community, because another myth which I didn't mention was that drag queens are really, for lack of a better word, catty with each other and almost like they're always fighting. But I know that that's actually a misconception. So how does it feel when you're around all these drag queens?
You know, That's not always true, but in a lot of instances it is true. I'm not one of those people. I like to go and be friendly. I don't need to put anyone down to lift myself up, but I have met queens that do sort of talk behind each other's backs and do judge other people's drag, and that's something that is very common in the drag community. However, I don't think it's necessary, and I think that's something that should change.
What kind of drag would you say that your style is more lenient towards?
I try to categorize my drag as sort of a little bit more edgy and dark and sort of dangerous, but overall, I'm very versatile, and I am talking about my drag. but, you know, I really will... I'm a chameleon, and I can sort of adapt to any challenge that's put ahead of me.
I hope somebody gets that
gets
reference.
That little joke. Yeah.
but how does it make you feel when you go on stage in front of all these people?
You know, it is completely an adrenaline rush for me. And whenever I get off stage, too, I have to ask someone, did I do okay? Because it's just like a blur, like completely.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get on, and hopefully I do well, but I just... something about it, there's just so much adrenaline and so much energy that you get off the crowd, and it just becomes like this kind of surreal experience. At least that is to me.
And what do you do when you perform?
It depends on my number, but like I said, I like to be a bit more edgy and shocking, so I do use a lot of props and like fake blood, and I like to bring something to every show that people don't expect.
So there's a lot of like theatrical aspects to it?
Absolutely, yeah. Almost all of my numbers have props and concepts, and I think that's important for any queen.
Do you make all of them yourself?
I make all my props usually. I can't sew, unfortunately, but I'm crafty. So I can put together something, but I have a lot of friends in the community that help me out with costuming and wig styling, which I'm thankful for.
Are wigs expensive?
It depends where you go, and it depends who's styling it. I've requested wigs before, and like they'll ask for like $180, and I'm like, I'm good. Never mind. Me personally, just because, I don't know, I'm a full-time student, and I can't be dropping like that much money on one wig. I won't go over $60 for something like that, but that's just me.
Do you get real hair once or just like regular?
I don't know. They're real to me.
That's all that matters. Yeah. Right? Are there any rules of the drag world that it's just like unspoken? Like everyone knows to follow these rules, but...
Okay, yeah. Well, certain rules, it does depend on the venue. Well, it is an unspoken rule. You cannot steal tips from other queens. If you do, you'll be kicked out of the club. You won't be welcome back. Yeah, you can't mess with anyone's things. I feel like that's obvious. A lot of clubs, you can't, this sounds ridiculous, but you can't use any like pyro effects or like smoking inside and stuff, which I feel like is a no-brainer. But you definitely, if you're doing something really over the top, you have to communicate with the venue just to make sure.
What if it's like an outdoor venue?
That's different then, because I have performed at outdoor venues and you can like light a cigarette on stage and stuff.
Has anyone ever done like pyro effects, like fire breathing or like those flaming hula hoops?
I haven't seen that in person, but there's a RuPaul's Drag Race queen, Ivy Winters, that often she's amazing. She's like a full circus queen. She breathes fire, performs on stilts, so I think you have to reach a certain level of success before you can like go crazy with something like that.
That's where I think that a lot of hobbies can play into your drag, because like people are musicians, and you said you're a graphic designer. Do you have anything that you've designed for your own drag?
Oh, completely. Well, I consider myself more of a painter, so I think that goes a lot into my makeup, at least. And I have like painted costumes of mine before, and... yeah, as I said, I'm very crafty.
Okay.
Yeah.
And most of our guests can't see this, but you've actually have your merch. You have a t-shirt and a phone case.
If you follow me on my Instagram, @SovereignAngst, I have a link in my bio if you want to check it out. But yeah, this was a graphic I made from my first performance. It was sort of this Cannibal-inspired number where I transitioned from one song and I went into Cannibal by Kesha, and just all this blood came out of my mouth, and I pull out like a Halloween severed hands from under my tutu and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. I definitely am going to order one of these phone cases
later.
I'll
get you one for free. What do you mean?
Oh. So are there any stereotypes that drag queens are subjected to? Like, do people do things to you, like, in the club that they just, like, don't understand?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, working in a club or sort of any nightlife industry, people do drink, and so they sort of feel that it's a... I mean, I guess inhibitions are lost in that sort of atmosphere, but people can get a little bit touchy and feely when they can see you have a padded ass. They'll just come up and touch it. Oh, wait. Am I allowed to say that?
It's just a little
slow. Okay, my bad. Padded butt. Yeah, and then people always come and touch your hair, and I hate
it. I always hear that the rule is, like, do not touch a queen, because it's, like, hours of work and all that makeup, and, like, things will fall apart at the slightest touch.
Yeah, like, I've had people come up to me and hug me, and, like, they pull my wig back and don't even realize it, which, yeah.
Have you ever been, like, snatched or, like, clocked, and you didn't even know it and just went back on stage?
One of my first performances, I actually, like, lost my wig. I was so embarrassed. I kept going, though, because you have to do that. But that's only been, like, one instance.
I feel like you have to play it off, like, I snatched myself. What are you talking about?
And whenever queens start losing their wigs, my least favorite thing is when they keep trying to put it back on. I'm like, just let it go. There's nothing else you can do at this point.
Do you wear a wig cap under it?
Yeah, I do. And just because I have, like, super long hair, I duct tape my entire hairline. And I just bobby pin it.
Yeah, like, how do you keep that in there?
With prayer. yeah, I just have to really, like, I put in a bun usually, and I just pin it down as much as I can and put a wig cap over it.
Okay, that's pretty clever.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about your family.
Oh,
do they know that you do drag?
Yeah, they do. I come from an LGBT family. I have two mothers, and they are completely supportive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they love it. Like, they just came out to my show last night to see, and yeah, they're amazing. I'm so lucky because being a drag performer, I hear from queens all the time. Like, when I first started doing drag, I was in this competition, and one of the queens I met that I became good friends with, her parents didn't even know she was gay. And, like, she was coming week after week, and she'd have to get dressed at the club and de-drag
at the club.
And they thought she was, like, a stylist for someone, which that breaks my heart to hear that. Because, like, when you do drag on a certain level, it becomes really important to you. And when you can't share that with your family or even your sexual identity, that's heartbreaking.
Wow.
I don't know how people do that. But I'm lucky. I come from a really accepting family.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, your cousin actually told me about you, and I was like, oh, wow, so everyone must know.
Hopefully good things.
I wanted to do some lingo talk with you, if we can break down and explain some drag lingo, because, like you said, RuPaul's Drag Queen drag race has really affected the new generation, and a lot of people now are just, like, master makeup artists at, like, 12 years old, and everyone's just, like,
it's insane
using the lingo.
Yeah.
And, like,
I'm better at the lingo than English, so.
Okay. English is your second language, right? So the first slang term that is really popular in the community is beat for the gods.
Oh,
what is that?
That's just, like, well, beating your face. It's like doing your makeup. And I mean, my interpretation of it is you really have to pound, like, powder into your face, so that's why I think. But, like, beat for the gods, it's just you're painted gorgeous, you look amazing, your highlight's on point, like, your eyes are up. It's just, like, your makeup is incredible.
Did drag queens invent contouring, or was it Kim Kardashian?
Drag queen. Well, I consider Kim Kardashian a drag queen, so. But
and
no,
why do you say that?
I mean, she's contouring just like all these other girls I work with every week.
She has a new wig every week, right?
Honestly,
Well, maybe that's Kylie or something.
Oh, yeah, she has the wigs.
There was an episode where she's like, yeah, so I, like, invented wigs.
Oh, girl. I mean, every...
Like, how would you feel about that for her to say that?
Almost every, like, female pop star is a drag queen. They're up there with fake hair, with pounds of makeup, mostly lip syncing to their songs. They're drag queens. Oh.
And what about serving fish?
Serving fish. Well, fish is just very, like, fishy. That's not a good explanation.
Like, what is a fishy queen?
A fishy queen is, like, you're passable as a woman, which I'm not. I'm a clown. But, so serving fish, it's just, like, unclockable. People think you're a woman.
Like, yeah. Courtney Act, right?
Yeah, okay. Like, something like that.
What is a kiki? When someone says, let's have a kiki.
Oh, that's just when you and your good Judies get together and you throw some shade and you spill some tea and all that lingo. But it's mainly just getting together and talking, whether it be nice or unnice.
Okay. And what about when the library is open? What does that mean?
Oh, that means when you're reading people because you read in a library. So you might say something like, oh, that queen's hair is awful, or... oh, she looks fantastic. Those are really bad examples. Oh, okay. It's pretty much judgment.
Oh, wow. And what about, lastly, sickening?
Sickening. I feel like that's self-explanatory.
I feel like you have to add a tongue pop. Can you do the tongue
pop?
Oh, okay.
If I had a hair, I don't know. If I had a hair can or a hairspray can, I could like pretend.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I can't do that. Or wait, what was the question?
What is sickening?
Sickening. I feel like I should have a better explanation. It's just when you look fierce, you look sickening, you look amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. Other adjectives.
So for my last question, and I've really enjoyed having you on my show,
Thank you. Is
it masculine to cry?
Absolutely. I think it is. I don't think it's feminine to cry. I don't think it's masculine. Everyone cries and everyone poops too.
So it's masculine to poop too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Everyone does everything.
I might be the most masculine person because of how much I poop.
Yeah. I don't think it has anything to do with masculinity.
Not to be crass or anything.
Well, you do have me on, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd really like to thank you for being on my show today.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And I will probably try to see you at one of your performances.
I would love to see you there.
See you come out on top.
Thank you.
Even though you're versatile. Anyway.
I did not disclose anything.
So, yeah, thank you for listening to Men Don't Cry. Tune in next week for another episode. I'm Kevin Barcinas with KPCRadio.com.